You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey guys, welcome into another space. I'm your host EJ Holland with the Wolverine over at On3. Right now you can sign up for $1 for 1 year. That gets you premium access to all our recruiting content, team content, and our great message board, The Fort. So if you're not a premium subscriber, you can sign up now. Again, that's $1 1 year at thewolverine.com. Here we kind of give you a taste, and over there you can kind of get your full course meal. But glad you guys are on to listen to another space. Hope to interact with you guys. Obviously, a lot going on in the world of Michigan recruiting right now. It's been nonstop busy. I've been going out to satellite camps. Obviously, official visitors are getting on campus here. It started off this past weekend with a couple of top 300 defensive backs. So it's been kind of nonstop. We have some big events coming up in the summer, including the Elite 11 finals later in the month. So it's been quite a busy time, and will continue to be a busy time throughout the month of June. I expect Michigan to build up some momentum here soon, especially this weekend and going into the 17th for Victor's weekend. I think these next 2 weekends should produce at least a couple of commitments. Obviously, Michigan needs to get the ball rolling with commits. They're always at their best with official visitors, and I think these 2 weekends will produce some really good news for you guys. I definitely want to address the quarterback situation. I'm sure as soon as we get you guys in for questions, you are going to ask about the whole quarterback deal. A lot going on this week with quarterback movement, so I'm going to just start off with the official visitors for the weekend, and then you guys can jump in and go ahead and ask questions, whether it's quarterback or anything else Michigan recruiting. Feel free to hop in at any time, and I will answer your questions. Like I said, I appreciate you guys for joining. Those who are just joining, I am EJ Holland with the Wolverine. But let's go ahead and start off with official visitors. Michigan had two on campus over the weekend. First guy I'm going to start off with is Daniel Harris, top 100 cornerback out of Miami Gulliver Prep, same school as five-star wide receiver target Jaylen Brown. I had a chance to go out to Miami during the spring evaluation period last month and saw Daniel Harris in action. It's not hard to see why Michigan really likes him. I mean, he's 6'2", he's 175, so he's that traditional, taller, longer corner that Michigan likes to target. But what really stands out about Harris and why he's ascended in the rankings is he has tremendous speed at that size. He's fast, man. I saw him line up at wide receiver. He took a short slant, took it to the house, scored on that. He locked down his side of the field. Gulliver Prep scrimmaged against a more run-heavy team, but still he completely locked down his side of the field, didn't give up a catch, and then made several plays on the offensive side of the ball too. So he's a plus athlete. He's very speedy for his size. He can add some, you know, weight and strength to his frame, but that's kind of the least of my concerns. I thought Harris checked a lot of boxes for me. I traveled to, I want to say, 8 different states as well as D.C. throughout my travels during the spring eval period, and I had Harris ranked in my top 5 performers from those travels. So that should tell you how much I really like him. As far as where Michigan stands coming out of the visit, I do think that the Wolverines are very much in play here. I do think there's still a little bit of work to do. Georgia has largely been considered the leader in this recruitment. They're getting him in for an official visit. Ohio State has been considered the out-of-region favorite. They're set to get an official visit. But Ohio State has a lot of talented DBs on the board, and so does Georgia. I think Michigan positioned itself well if those two teams maybe land some other DBs, fill up at that spot. That could open up the door for Michigan to really make a move with Daniel Harris. Penn State is involved as well and will receive an official visit. So that's another school to watch. But it's very clear when you're looking at the contenders, Georgia, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. I mean, only one is unlike the others. Like, Harris is very open to playing in the Big Ten, to leaving the Southeast, to going away from home. He fits the Big Ten, and just from his playing style, his size, and I think he kind of gets that. And that's why three of his four finalists are from the Big Ten Conference. Of course, Georgia's always going to be hard to beat for a Southeast kid for obvious reasons, but I think Michigan has a legitimate chance here. I do think it'll take a couple of things falling in the right place for the Wolverines, but I think they did a good job with Daniel Harris this weekend. I think he got a good in-depth look at the program, which was needed. A big reason Michigan is in contention for Harris is because of co-defensive coordinator Steve Klingscale, who's done a tremendous job of recruiting him over the last month. The other official visitor from the weekend was Jordan Matthews out of Woodlawn, Louisiana. And Jordan's been considered a Texas lean for a couple of months. Obviously, Texas was my old beat before I was on the Michigan beat, and still talk to a lot of people connected to that program. And it kind of going into this weekend, I was pretty pessimistic about Michigan's chances, you know, just hearing everything about Matthews and Texas. But coming out of the weekend, I do think Michigan made a really, really nice move with him. I still think Texas is the team to beat just because it looks like they're going to get him on campus for another visit and because of some of the other things I've heard through the back channels. But again, Michigan made a great impression. I think Michigan had an even better visit with Matthews than they did with Daniel Harris. I do think this is more of a Texas-Michigan battle. Tennessee is in there as well. Tennessee set to receive a visit. We all know Tennessee plays the NIL game pretty well, so we'll have to see, you know, where things stand with Tennessee after that visit. You know, I'm not going to dismiss Tennessee with the way they're doing things in any recruitment for any top 300 level kid. But I do think right now it's more Texas, Michigan. I think Michigan has made this a lot closer than people expected. Matthews is a priority on the corner board. Klingscale has done a phenomenal job of recruiting him. Jesse Minter did a great job on this official visit, spending a lot of time with Matthews, going on the board with him, explaining the defensive scheme. And we haven't talked a lot about new defensive coordinator Jesse Minter as an actual recruiter. But from my travels in Georgia in the spring and just seeing him at a satellite camp last week, I think Minter is going to be a rising star on the recruiting trail. I mean, this is a guy that has done it before, so it's not like a Mike McDonald situation where he had to kind of relearn everything or just learn everything coming from the NFL, not relearn. Like, he actually had to learn it. You know, he'd never really recruited a ton. Jesse Minter has experience. I mean, he was the Sun Belt Recruiter of the Year at Georgia State. I know that's a lower level than Michigan, but he has experience doing this. And I think he can be really, really good at it. And I think he made an impact on Matthews. He's making an impact for Michigan in the state of Georgia and throughout the Southeast. So I think Minter and Klingscale is a great duo. And then you add in the Ron Bellamy factor as well. Bellamy obviously helped Michigan find success in Louisiana last cycle, landing Marion Walker, flipping him from Notre Dame at the end of the cycle. You know, Bellamy, a Louisiana native, has strong ties there. He's involved in this Matthews recruitment. So I think you have the best guys involved in this recruitment. And I think, again, while Texas has a ton of momentum here, I think Michigan gave him a lot to think about coming out of the weekend. So that's where I think things stand with both Harris and Matthews. Like I said, guys, you guys can jump in at any time, ask any questions about Michigan recruiting, and we can address them. But I do think, I guess, it's time to start talking about the elephant in the room, which is Michigan quarterback recruiting. It's been a hot topic all day long, nonstop, on our message board. Again, if you are not a subscriber to thewolverine.com, go ahead and subscribe now. $1 one year. But it looks like we do have, you know, it might be a quarterback question, might not. Before we dive into it, we'll bring in Parallel Heartbreak. All right, Parallel, I think you are in. You can speak whenever you have a chance.
Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, I can hear you. What's up, man?
Hey, I don't know what that background is. Is that you?
I'm not sure, but I can hear you clearly.
Okay, so I don't know what this is. I hear something crazy in the background. So I'm sorry. Well, I have two questions, a two-part question. Man, I'm about to, I don't know what's going on. Let me fix this. I'll be back.
Right. It looks like Parallel Heartbreak had some issues. We have some Notre Dame trolls trying to get some questions in.
Okay, can you hear me?
For him to come back. Yep, we can hear
you. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was someone. So two-part question. So, of course, I'll go blue as always. I saw some a lot of stuff today about the car situation. I know you'll get to that in Dante Moore thing. This is my question. One, is it probably better that Michigan focus on 2024 since they have Cade, JJ, Orgy, and I forgot the kid that transferred from Texas Tech. And the reason I ask that is because personally, I don't believe having five or six, seven quarterbacks is always good. Because look at Ole State. I mean, they can't keep them. You know what I'm saying? So do you think it's better to just go with that right now and just wait for a Jaden Davis? And two, if CJ Carr does pick Notre Dame, is that an indictment on Michigan based on the fact that his granddad did coach the Wolverines? And because I hear a lot of rumors, is there any bad blood with Lloyd and how he left? Like, I'm not sure. I know he kind of got pushed out after 07 because of the Appalachian State situation. That kind of started it. But is that an indictment on Michigan if he picks Notre Dame and if Moore doesn't go there? And I'll listen.
Yeah, no, let's go ahead and talk about your first question. So should Michigan kind of pass up 2023 based on guys they have on the roster right now? No, I don't think you pass up on 2023. I think it's kind of smart to take a quarterback every year just because of the nature of the transfer portal. I think you kind of look at it the opposite way. Like, you kind of expect a guy to get in the portal. It's just the nature of the beast. Like, let's just say, you know, for example, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but hypothetically, let's say JJ comes in and he wins the job in the middle of the season. You know what happens to Cade at that point? You know, you never know how things are going to shake out. JJ's very committed to the University of Michigan, but let's say JJ was a different guy, right? And Cade keeps that job. You know, that backup quarterback could be unhappy and enter the transfer portal. So with just how everything's going on right now, I think you take the best quarterback you can find. Last year, Michigan took two quarterbacks, one being Alex Orgy, one being Jaden Dennegal. Jaden Dennegal was my lowest rated prospect in the class. Alex Orgy, I think, is a phenomenal athlete, but does he stay at quarterback? You know, that kind of remains to be seen. He obviously flashed at the spring game, but a lot of that was just his size and his physical ability. I mean, the guy's built like a tank. I think he can be a very successful linebacker as well, which is where his brothers played. So I don't think it's a guarantee that Orgy or even Dennegal stick at quarterback at Michigan. So I think you have to take a guy in 2023, especially based on what happened in 2022. And it just so happens that 2023 is home to a local five-star prospect in Dante Moore. I don't think, you know, you pass up on a guy like Dante Moore. Michigan has made it very clear that Dante Moore is the guy this cycle. They haven't offered any other 2023s. They are going all in for Dante Moore. They are not letting 2024 dictate their pursuit of Dante Moore. So, no, I don't think it's a mistake to just take the safe guy in 2024 and pass on 2023, because I think, you know, if we're talking specifically about CJ Carr, I think Dante Moore is a better talent than CJ Carr, and you go all in for him. You know, as far as your second question with CJ, and, you know, if he ends up committing to Notre Dame, which obviously there's a lot of predictions for him to land in South Bend, including one of my own. Look, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily an indictment on Michigan. You look at perception versus reality, right? The perception's going to be awful. How could Michigan let Lloyd Carr's grandson go to Notre Dame, a rival school? how could they let him out of the state of Michigan? You know, there's the Carr family's royalty at the University of Michigan. How could this possibly happen? All right, you know, we're getting ready for Thursday because it's going to be bad as far as perception. But the reality is there are 2024 quarterbacks that are higher on Michigan's board. I mean, there's more talented 2024 quarterbacks. Now, CJ is a very good quarterback prospect in his own right. You know, I was one of the first people to say that CJ should be ranked higher than he was. Early on, he was very undervalued. I still think that Jaden Davis is a better quarterback prospect right now. Obviously, he is the number six overall player in the country on the consensus. I mean, Jaden Davis is tremendous, and I think Michigan made a power move this weekend on his visit. You have Julian Sayin, who's arguably a better prospect than CJ Carr as well, who's already visited and has ties to the Big Ten. And then you have Michael Van Buren, who's a personal favorite of mine, one of the biggest risers in the rankings at the quarterback position out of Baltimore St. Francis, which has been a very, very friendly high school to Michigan. Van Buren visited this offseason, and I think he's kind of has the highest ceiling maybe out of everybody. Just he has Bryce Young-like abilities. I don't think he's quite at that level just yet, but I do think there's a reason Alabama just entered the race for Michael Van Buren, because there's a lot of similarities. I think Van Buren in his first year as a full-time starter this year is going to show a lot. I've been driving that bandwagon for a long time. I love Michael Van Buren. I think he's going to keep rising up the rankings, and he could get to that Bryce Young type level. So there's other 2024 guys. And then on top of that, you're still in the race for Dante Moore. Like, you know, if you land Dante Moore and you land Jaden Davis, I'll take that all day. If you just land Jaden Davis, I'd still take that. If you just land Dante Moore, I'd still take that. So, Michigan obviously has to close with one or both of these guys, or, you know, I still feel at the end of the day, Michigan can have a net win. So yes, perception is going to be terrible. Thursday's going to be terrible with all these Notre Dame trolls. It's going to suck. But at the end of the day, Michigan might come out on top. So, you know, I don't think you let CJ Carr dictate what you do with quarterback recruiting. I don't think you just take him now just to take him when you have Dante Moore still on the board. All right, so let's go ahead. We have to get through all these Irish trolls to actually find the Michigan fans, but we have quite a bit of requesters. We have to do a minor background check just to speak on this show, because Notre Dame fans, you know, obviously love to hop on. Let's go to Cody Frazier.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, Cody, can you hear me? Hey, how's it going, man?
Assuming Thursday's bad news on CJ Carr, him and Dante probably aren't going to end up at Notre Dame together. I mean, just assuming. Who do you think between LSU and A&M is going to be their biggest competition, with NIL being a factor? I'm assuming it's A&M. He goes on an official visit down there soon. I just don't see LSU being that much of a factor in the recruitment, but I could be wrong. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, man.
Yeah, I kind of wrote about LSU and A&M today in the Dante Moore race. I think both have an equal chance. I mean, Dante's always liked LSU. You know, when he was younger, he really liked LSU and he made a visit out there. Obviously, he's familiar with Brian Kelly from his time at Notre Dame as well. So I think LSU, he had a good visit there as well. So I think LSU is still very much a factor. And then A&M obviously has a lot to offer, not only from an NIL perspective, but I think Dante's just, you know, always been interested kind of in the aura of Texas football in general. You know, that's something that we've talked about in the past. So I think both A&M and LSU have legitimate chances. Obviously A&M's coming in hard and they're getting him in on campus for a visit. I'm interested to see what Jaden Rashada does just because he officially visited A&M. You know, we've talked about Oregon being a player with Dante. Rashada is also in play for Oregon as well. So, you know, to answer your question, I think A&M and LSU are both factors. I think Notre Dame, you know, with them probably landing CJ Carr on Thursday, I think their chances may drop off. So I, you know, I'm pretty optimistic about Dante. I'm not guaranteeing anything with Dante, you know, that's for him to tell you guys, but I do think that, I do think that those two, A&M and LSU, might end up being the biggest competition with everything going on at Notre Dame. And I wouldn't put one over the other.
I got you. And one more question, man, what do you see kind of out in left field with the O-line board being so, I guess, congested, if you want to say, who do you see as the top risers to the board with us kind of falling off with Caden Green and, or Caden Proctor and the Green Kid? Who do you see as our top O-line recruits? And I'll let you go, man.
Yeah, definitely. We won't get too much into it. We have a lot of requesters, but I do think one kid to really, or two kids to really keep an eye on here as we head into the next couple weekends of official visits. Chris Turek here in Chicago is the guy making an official visit this weekend. He has risen up as a priority on the offensive line board, and I think Michigan's in a very good spot. It wouldn't be surprising to see them land Chris. And then Logan Howland out of New Jersey is a kid that visited earlier this offseason, coming back for an official visit on the 17th. I think he's moved up the board, and I think Michigan has a really good chance to close with him as well. So I'll kind of say those are our guys that are rising up the board and visiting soon. But appreciate you for joining, Cody. Looks like we've got some more requesters. We'll go with OSU Daddy.
Hello, can you hear me, EJ?
Yeah, I can hear you.
How's it going tonight?
It's going good. What about you?
Pretty good. Hey, I just had two recruiting questions. One,
okay,
with CJ Carr looking to go to Notre Dame, what do you think the chances are with Dante Moore? And two, how's it feel to be Notre Dame's little bitch?
Well, looks like we had a Notre Dame troll sneak in. You know, I don't feel like I am that to Notre Dame, so apologize to everybody that joined the space and had to hear this disgusting comment by this Notre Dame fan. But no, I mean, I honestly feel like Notre Dame should rename their board after me. They talk about me more than they talk about their own school. But as far as, you know, your actual first question, I do think Michigan's chances to land Dante are right up there. I've always said the longer this goes, the better for Michigan. So I think, you know, that's kind of what's going on right now. It's Michigan's willing to play the long game. They've got a really good chance with Dante. And we'll just kind of see how the summer plays out. Let's go ahead and, geez, man, there's so many Notre Dame trolls in here. It's crazy, man. They really do. They really do love these spaces. Let's try to background check other people. Let's go with Haven Harris.
Hey, EJ.
Hey, I mean, how's it going,
well,
man?
Well, at least I'm a safe one. You know, I'm not a troll.
Yes, I know you're a safe one. That is why I picked
you. So, obviously, we're all waiting on Thursday, and you've hit that pretty hard. But on a topic that I'm kind of keenly interested in is, I didn't catch if you could hit on, do you have a comparison for Jordan Matthews? Because I know, you know, between the two, Daniel Harris and Jordan, you addressed them earlier. I just didn't catch if there was a comparison for Jordan, one. And also, I was really surprised that the Harris twins are not seemingly I know one of them is a take potentially, and the other one probably not, just because of size and speed ratio. But who are you thinking that we really have a shot at linebacker if we can keep Braylon Wilson? And why or why not is Jaden Asbury my dream linebacker to match up with him?
No, definitely. Obviously, a lot to take in. With Matthews, that's a good question on comparison. You know, I haven't thought about that too much, so I'm not going to answer it, right off the cuff. That would take time for me to really look at. But I do really like his game. He has good height at 6'1", really good speed. You know, Michigan's really valuing speed at the cornerback position this cycle. They're really, trying to get away, not get away from taller, longer guys. I mean, Daniel Harris is a tall, long guy. Matthews is a tall, long guy. I keep saying Jacoby Matthews just because of last cycle. But both of these guys are tall, long guys, but they have that speed. And that's what Michigan's really looking for. They're really narrowing down those 100 meters, trying to look at guys that run, maybe sub 11 at that spot. So I don't have a direct comp, but I can tell you that, Michigan really, really values Matthews' game and that he's obviously very high on the board. As far as linebacker recruiting in general and the Harris twins, I had a chance to see the Harris twins at the Ray Lewis camp in Ohio and immediately just had question marks, about both of them, about their size, how much weight can they add. They're both good athletes, but they weren't phenomenal in pass coverage. I didn't think they were at the level of a guy like Aaron Chiles, who's a top target in 2024, or Edwin Spielman, who's another top target in 2024. So they didn't, just move the needle for me a lot. I think they would be decent takes, but I don't think they're good enough to command a package deal right now. Michigan's still evaluating them. There's still potential options, but not necessarily, super high up on the board. Obviously, right now it's a priority to keep Braylon Wilson, who's continuing to make visits. Osbury's a really interesting one. There's a lot of optimism around Michigan that they can get Osbury on board. He obviously visited last cycle. They recruited his older brother, so there's connections there. They're getting him in for an official visit. I really do think that Osbury is a potential add to this class, and obviously he would be a tremendous one. And if they can keep Raylan, I mean, that's a hell of a duo. Another guy that's high on the board is Phil Picciotti out of Pennsylvania. He's coming in for an official visit. I think right now that one's more of a Michigan-Oklahoma battle, so we'll see how the official visit goes. But yeah, linebacker's kind of an interesting one. Looks like it's going to be a smaller class, not a ton of names. Michigan's in the mix with Samaj Bridgman, who's another high-level guy, but, some work to do there. We'll see how it kind of plays out, but I do think Osbury's a legitimate option.
All right, EJ, thanks much, and go Blue.
Yep, definitely. We'll take Wolverine devotee. All right, man, you're on the line. All right. Looks like Wolverine DOT is not talking. So we'll go ahead and go to Owen. All right. For some reason, we're having trouble getting guys in. So bear with me. Owen, can you hear me? All right. I am not sure what's going on, guys. So again, sorry for that. Let's go ahead and try Jonathan Crutcher. Jonathan, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep. Right. Good, man. I'm not sure what was going on with some of the other guys, but what's up?
You know,
man?
I'm not a Notre Dame troll, but what the heck did you do to them?
They're sad little people. They're like those leprechauns, man. They're like a direct reflection of a leprechaun. Like, they're just sad little people.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so couple questions. One, are there going to be any more wideout offers, do you think? I know Noble Johnson left us off, but do you think the wideout board is pretty set? And then I was on at the beginning. I heard you mention Jayden Davis. How real is that? Like, is that like
legitimate or is it like premature and just he's really excited after the visit?
Yeah, definitely. So to quickly answer your question on the wide receiver board, yeah, I do think that there could be maybe another offer to going out in 2023. Some guys that they've offered that previously could rise up the board, like Nathan Leacock out of North Carolina would be one that could move up the board. They're bringing in Fred Moore for an official visit. I think he's a guy that could easily end up in the class. I had him in my mock class. I know Noble was a guy that was high on the board.
Yeah, your mock class on offense made me sad.
That kind of sucks, but at the same time, you know, I do think that they're in a good spot with Fred Moore. If they make a good push for him, I think that he could end up in the class. They're still shooting their shots with Jaylen Brown, with Shelton Sampson, guys like that. You know, it'll be interesting to see if they can create some movement as the cycle kind of goes on. But yeah, I do think there's a potential for a couple other offers to go out at the wide receiver position, just because some of the guys are a little on the lower rated aspect. Like a guy like Jaron Hamilton, who made an unofficial visit, is a guy that could move up the board and come in for an official visit. So yeah, I do think there's some room for movement there on the wide receiver board. And then in terms of Jaden Davis, no, I think the Jaden Davis hype is real. I would buy it. I'm not comfortable enough to put in a pick yet. I think there's a lot of quarterback dominoes to fall. We still have to see what Dante Moore does. There's other 2024 options that are realistic, like we've talked about, Sayan, Van Buren. But I do think the hype is real. There's connections there to the Michigan program. One of the guys that's around Providence Day, where he goes to high school, is ex-Wolverine Jonathan Goodwin. His son Channing Goodwin is a wide receiver in 2024, again on the same team as Jaden Davis. They visited together, so I think having a UM guy around that program definitely helps. I think he, with Carr looking like he's going to fly off the board, I think that Michigan's become more and more appealing to Jaden Davis, and he was looking at playing in the Big Ten. I mean, for a long time, he was considered an Ohio State lean, with a lot of people expecting him to commit there. So, he's willing to leave the region. He's looking at the Big Ten, and I think Michigan did a fantastic job with him and his teammates on the visit. I mean, I could see Channing Goodwin jumping in the class, obviously a legacy recruit. There's another wide receiver there, Jordan Shipp, who is a consensus four-star in 2024. So, I mean, I think you sell them all on package deal. But, yeah, I love Jaden Davis. I think he's the top guy in 24.
Is Michigan's quarterback recruiting now going to be, all right, whoever Ohio State rejects, we want that guy?
I don't know about that, but I think it's a good sign when Ohio State pushes for a quarterback.
Yeah. And my last question, just for some people who may not be on the Wolverine, just plug you and help you out. $1 for a year, by the way. Are there any recruits outside of Amir Herring, because I know you mentioned him, that you are looking at that you think Michigan should be paying more attention to, that they are kind of lower on the board right now?
That's a really good question. Guys that they should be looking at that are a little lower on the board. That is a really good question. Obviously I've talked a lot about Amir, you've mentioned. I don't know. I might have to come back with a story on that one. That one's hard to think off the dome, so I'm gonna have to come back.
There you go, guys. You need to subscribe to the Wolverine so he can tell you about more recruits that Michigan may look to offer if they miss out on some people.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. We'll go back to Wolverine Devotee. It looks like he's requested again, and then we're going to get out of here, guys. We've gone past half an hour, so let me get him in here very quickly. Yep, I can hear you.
Yeah, my audio dropped off last time. Two questions. One, any updates on Samuel Mpemba? And then the other would be the other two Notre Dame commits, and Peyton Bowen and Keon Keeley.
Yeah, definitely. So with Samuel and Pemba, obviously he made an unofficial visit to Michigan. I think there's work to do for Michigan to get him on campus for an OV. They're still in contact with him, but I think chances are pretty low. In terms of the Notre Dame commits, Keon Keeley is going to be a tough flip. I think right now it's more favorable than not that he sticks with Notre Dame. And then Peyton Bowen, I still think there's something there. You know, he was tentatively set to visit Michigan on the 17th. Notre Dame has tried to shut that down. I'm curious to see if he does end up making it on the 17th anyway. Steve Klinkscale has been working very, very hard in that recruitment. I think Peyton has legitimate interest in Michigan. I went out to see him in Dallas, and, you know, he said as much himself. So, yeah, I really do think there's still a chance with Peyton Bowen. I think more likely flip would be maybe to OU or A&M since they're regional schools. But I do think Klinkscale has done a really nice job with Bowen, as has defensive coordinator Jesse Minter, and I wouldn't be surprised if he does show up for his official visit. You know, it's always tough with guys that are committed elsewhere and Notre Dame having that stupid no-visit policy that never works. It'll be interesting to see if he shows up. I think, you know, he'll be a tough flip, but I think Michigan's still in it.
Perfect, man. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for joining. We've gone over half an hour, so sorry I didn't get to everybody. We also had all the Notre Dame trolls that are looks like they're crying right now. So hopefully they have better weeks. But thanks, guys. Remember to subscribe to thewolverine.com right now. $1 a year.